Welcome back to another episode of Authoritic Bourbon Bikepackers. No bourbon. It's a theme. We're going to keep this up. Eventually going to bring more bourbon in.
We're just building up the suspense.
That's right. So we'll apologize in advance for our raspy voices, our unclear throats. If we have to clear our throats here, I don't know what's going on. It's the time of the year, if it's the cold weather, if it's just because we're talking on the microphone or what, but
it's the Missouri special.
It is. Today we're going to talk about and continue on with the conversation a little bit related to the Katy Trail. We just finished up an episode about our ride that we did from west to east. Today's going to be a little bit of a combination of things, but I wanted to start it off, because you brought this up, with the top five watering holes along the Katy Trail that Jerry is a fan of. Now, this might be applicable to you if you're thinking about riding the Katy or if you live in the Missouri area. These are places you might definitely want to stop and grab either a beverage or a food item or a treat or any combination of those things. Tell us what your what the first item on your list is.
So I'm going to give a disclaimer here. Because I, you know, I don't want to shortchange anyone at the ends of the trail.
Oh, true.
You know, but most of my riding, you know, I've ridden it a couple times, you know, but most of my riding is within some 130 mile stretch in the kind of the middle third.
True.
Really from Sedalia all the way to Herman.
Yes.
That's really kind of where I spend most of my time. And so most of my candidates for the top five are in that. Well, they all are. They're all in that area because I spent the most time, spent the most dollars in these watering holes.
Gotcha.
So number five, number five is in Sedalia. Because it's, you know, Sedalia, at some point, either it was or it was going to be the state capital. But
correct.
Instead, they got the fairgrounds.
Right, right.
So, but, you know, it's a pretty big town. And so there's a place there called Fitter's Fifth Street Pub.
Okay.
And one of the things I'll do is I'll, now I've ridden there all the way from home, which is a long way.
Yes.
So I'm not turning around and coming back. If I do that, I'm staying in town.
Right.
But sometimes I'll drive, or maybe after work, I'll be at Pilot Grove, and I'll ride from there, or maybe even Boonville, right into Sedalia and back. And so I'm pretty sure that when I start there in Pilot Grove, it's 25 miles to Sedalia. So it's a 50-mile round-trip ride. If you do it on Saturday, you got a pretty good full day, long enough to get a sunburn. And the Fitter's has some good bar and grill food. You can get beer, you can get ice water, you can get lemonade, you can get bourbon.
What's your go-to there? Do you have a particular thing, or you just kind of mix it up?
I'll often get some kind of cheeseburger because, you know, you're right, and you can justify a cheeseburger.
Absolutely.
And and this is your fault. I usually get like a bourbon and Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
That's it's your fault. We'll talk to them about that sometime, how you're responsible for all my vices.
Well, I don't know about all of them, but definitely I think I'm responsible for the bourbon portion. But, yeah, there's probably more, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Well, I want to mention there's a little bit of a secondary location there in Sedalia. In the Bothwell Hotel, which is a historic hotel, they do have a nice little bar and a restaurant there. It's a great date place, but it's also just a neat little kind of nicely appointed bar when it's open.
You stayed in that hotel too, right?
Yeah, a few times. Yeah, it's fun. It really is. And it's real reasonably priced as well. Cool. And they do cater to the cyclists coming off the trail.
Nice.
So that's number one. Number two is in Boonville, another one of the kind of sizable places on the trail. And there I've been known to hit Maggie's Bar and Grill.
Maggie's Bar and Grill.
Yep. It's right up on Main Street. You come off the trail and you just you cross the bridge and keep going. And then you gotta cross the street. And they've got a place to lock up your pony.
Yeah.
Just roll on in there.
Nice.
Similar fare. It's bar and grill stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Usually I'm getting kind of like a bourbon and Coke or something. I will say, though, both of these places that I've listed so far, if it's really hot, I'll probably get a gin and tonic, which is also your fault. I never did that before.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you got me.
I am quite an influencer.
That's right. Yep.
The other nice thing about Boonville, if you're so inclined, is you can ease on down the road just a little bit. You can hit the casino.
Yeah.
Isle of Capri Casino is there. It's tiny. Mm-hmm. And you can go in there and play some table games, or if you're into the one-arm bandits, you can pull a one-arm bandit, and you can also get some food there. They do have a pretty decent little restaurant in there, which is not, it's not that bad price-wise either. I was just out there recently, and pretty good food for a semi-reasonable price. I know that's all relative, but.
Yeah. And this is basically just a couple miles from the Katy Roundhouse campground in New Franklin, 2-3 miles maybe.
Yeah.
So, if you're camping there, you don't have to necessarily, eat Spam. You can head into Boonville and have some real vittles.
Right, exactly.
And I want to mention a couple other things about Boonville there too, because if you need breakfast, the Main Street Diner is good. They're open early.
That's a really good diner.
It is. Really good breakfast food there. And similar to the Bothwell Hotel, there's the Hotel Frederick in Boonville, and it overlooks the river. Mm-hmm. And they've got a restaurant and a lounge too. Similarly, opens like 3 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
So those are a couple real neat stops.
So the hotel that you're talking about there, that's a nice place, but it's not the cheapest place.
It's not.
Since the casino has been there, I think that elevated the price of that hotel a little bit.
But yeah, and there are other hotels in Boonville, but they're close to the interstate, which is not at all near the trail.
Right.
At least at that area.
Yeah.
So I guess we're at number three.
Yeah.
Number three, and this is probably the watering hole I've been to the most. And this is Cooper's Landing. Good old Cooper's Landing.
Boy, there's a story or two about Cooper's Landing for sure.
Yeah.
So this is between, I don't know how you explain it, between Columbia and Hartsburg, let's just say, even though it's not really super close to Columbia. It's 8 or 9 miles. Mm-hmm. Columbia is 8 or 9 miles off the trail, and then Cooper's is along the trail. But this is right on the Missouri River, and they're really known for some fantastic sunsets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, right on the river. River makes a little bit of a bend there.
Yes.
And the way it really is, like it's, it just doesn't matter if it's spring or winter. You're going to get some pretty nice views of the sunset there.
It's true. Now, how do you describe for the average person the rustic nature of Cooper's Landing?
We've seen Cooper's kind of evolve over the last probably, I don't know, 6 years? Something like that.
Yeah, I'd say.
Used to be pretty minimal services. It was basically a place you could stop. It's a marina and a campground primarily.
Marina on the Missouri River, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yep.
That's how you'd explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a boat ramp there.
That's a pretty loose term too, marina, by the way. There's not.
Yeah. It's a narrow inclined plane that abruptly ends in the water.
Exactly. I think that's generous calling it a marina, but technically it is. Yeah.
But they really have just sort of slowly become a destination, and it's gone from, just a kind of a minimal place without many, without any real food or drink or services. And now, it's a pretty popular campground with lots of live music, mm-hmm. and they really sell a lot of beer and wine and some snacks, and they have food trucks.
Yes.
They put some, money into developing the campground some more. I mean, it's really quite nice. And they always have firewood. If there's any chill in the air, they're going to put a fire in the fire pit.
Yeah, it's still pretty rustic, but they have improved the facilities for sure. And you've got this little kind of mini grocery, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. With snacks and so forth and food items and a lot of beer and wine items, mostly all pre-canned, pre-packaged style stuff. They don't make any, there's no bar there mixing drinks, is what I'm trying to say, I guess. Campground's there, but I'd say live music generally on the weekends, yeah, most of the time,
mm-hmm,
is when they have that. But they've really made a significant effort to have somebody there pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, become this thing on a Sunday afternoon or on a Saturday, yeah, to have live music. And they'll advertise it, and a lot of the local folks will just drive out to Coopers and park and hang out.
Yep.
There's a lot of outdoor seating there. And you can sit around a picnic table or just some chairs or whatever's kind of thrown out, yep, there. People will bring their own pop-up chairs and hang out, drink, and they'll have a couple food trucks that park out there. And, mm-hmm, it's a variety, and they mix it up.
Yep.
Sometimes it's different people on the weekends. And,
yeah,
pretty good food, and it's right there on the trail.
Yeah. So the road, the gravel road kind of widens there, and it just becomes sort of a, you know, just pull-in parking spot,
yeah,
you know? I don't know. And yeah, like you say, there's all these places to sit. They've kind of trucked in some sand.
Yeah.
They put picnic tables there, and they've got these, you know, these giant cottonwood trees that have been downed, and they've kind of cut them up, and they leave them kind of, the trunks lying there for benches.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
It really is a fun place. I spent a lot of time there. It's, yeah, really one of my places. In fact, from my door to Cooper's, depending on the route I take from the neighborhood, you know, it's either 19 or 20 miles.
Yeah.
Door to door.
It's a real nice ride for us, mm-hmm, to be able, yeah, to get a 40-mile ride. You can ride out there,
mm-hmm,
get a few brewskis and a
Slim Jim,
Slim Jim, or a food truck item if you're in there on the right time, mm-hmm, and then ride back.
Yep.
And yeah, it's really cool. Cool place. That's a good one.
Yep. as much as I talked about it, probably should have been number one, but this is in no particular order.
Yeah, these aren't in any particular, yeah, order. So
my list without prejudice.
Exactly.
Number four, then the next one is Herman. And Herman, as we mentioned in the past, there's just so much there.
True.
There's so much. But my favorite place is certainly the Fernway Distillery.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's open, that's where I'm going.
Herman's got this really cool, again, right on the river. And you do have to ride across the bridge to get over there. But there's a bike lane, the whole nine, pedway, if you want to call it that. But, man, that town has really turned into something kind of nice over the years. They have a really big Oktoberfest there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a German community.
Yeah. And a Mudfest.
Yeah. And they also have really kind of started out with wineries, really,
mm-hmm,
yeah, in the old days. But now they've added distilleries and lots of other things. There's lots of little shops. It's like antiques and stuff like, yeah, that, little knick-knack shops, lots of coffee shops and places to eat food. Yeah. But distillery, I mean, come on.
Yep. Can't beat it.
Yeah.
And I like their stuff, too.
Honey wheat, baby.
Mm, yeah. Yeah,
they have this
good
honey wheat.
Good stuff.
Whiskey, bourbon, I don't remember.
Yeah,
they don't always have it though,
right? It's you gotta.
Mm.
It's like showing up. It's like a barbecue place that when they run out of brisket, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, like you're out of luck, buddy. You arrived too late. So
also kind of known for the Adam Punkta, right?
Yeah, Adam Punkta Winery.
Adam Punkta Winery.
Stonehill.
Stonehill, and yeah, lots of wineries there. But yeah, it's a cool place.
It is. It's good. There's lots to do there. Nowadays, I think there is another distillery there, and I forget what it's called.
Yeah, I think there is, too. I can't remember the name of it, though. Wow. There's also a lot of Airbnbs there, little places, mm-hmm, like bed and breakfast-style places you can stay. It has a lot to offer, that little, yeah, community does.
You know, if you're doing that, you probably drop a little more coin there in Herman than some of the places, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's a step up from Cooper's.
yeah. As far as
class, let's, yeah, just say.
Yeah.
Cooper's is just special because it's like a local joint.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and the other thing about Cooper's, if you got to get creative if you're going to get a shower.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But yeah, it's still near and dear to my heart. But Herman's real nice. Real
that
nice.
Is nice, yeah.
So, and what I've listed here is number five might surprise you because I really haven't camped or stayed in this location.
Okay.
But it's Jefferson City.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jefferson City's not the top of many of the lists that I'll compile.
That's true. That. Yeah.
But because of Patty Malone's.
Patty Malone's. I knew this is where this was going.
That's why it makes the list.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So Jefferson City, let's just talk about this state capital of Missouri. It's kind of a, I'm sorry, Jeff City people. We're going to have it. We'll sit down here, but It's kind of a dirty little river town. Is that how you would explain it as well? I mean, well,
somewhat, yeah. But I mean, you can put a coat of paint on it, and I've done that.
So it's kind of interesting because Columbia is 30 miles from Jeff City, and like a lot of people that live in Columbia work in Jeff City, and vice versa. A lot of mm-hmm. people that live yep. in Jeff City work in Columbia. Yep. Columbia is the bigger of the two cities by a pretty good margin.
Yeah, yeah.
Jefferson City is kind of smallish. They're big enough to have some things.
40,000, maybe.
Probably, I would. Right. I'd probably guess it to be about 40,000 mm-hmm. people, and obviously the home of the state capitol and the governor's mm-hmm. mansion and all this stuff. It's not like it doesn't have its things going for it.
Yeah, right, right.
But it's a very cliquish town, like mm-hmm. like a lot of smaller towns can be. It really has a local. The locals are tight. Let's just say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think they kind of look at Columbia as a little bit of its, the big brother ivory tower, maybe a little mm-hmm. bit.
Got the big university in town and all right. that stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we kind of give Jeff City a hard time. But I mean, Patty Malone's.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And I tell you, there are a couple other gems in the crown. Well, since I'm talking about it, I'll go ahead and say,
yeah.
That I think I think Prison Brews is a good place.
I agree.
Aris's Pizza.
Aris's Pizza is really good. Let's not overlook Madison's, which is a very nice Italian mm-hmm. restaurant yep. in downtown Jeff yep. City. Yep. There are a lot of nice options there for all the poo-pooing sure. that we give it.
Yeah.
But Patty Malone's is special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, this is Irish pub mm-hmm. kind of at its pinnacle for this area.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just great. You're riding off the trail, you got to cross the bridge.
Which is kind of an adventure because it has this kind of winding, walkway.
Like a square corkscrew.
Yeah, it's kind of like a winding walkway mm-hmm. to get you up to from the trail river level up to the bridge height mm-hmm. across. This is a busy bridge. This is 54, 63, all these highways that cross the river there. It's a major overpass bridge. But they have a really nice separated headway for walking and biking to get you across there.
And it's just pretty, like to look at the river from there. It really is gorgeous.
Now, Jefferson City has a few hills.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
So prepare yourself. If you're going to go across that bridge, just be aware. There's mm-hmm. a few hills over there, but it's not terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
And the other thing that's neat, now they also suffered during the flood.
Yeah.
The Jeff City Airport is a nice airport.
Yes.
And it's small, but it's really nice, mm-hmm. Pretty sizable for that kind of an airport. And they used to have Nick's Family Restaurant there with all this fried chicken and catfish.
Catfish,
legendary.
Baby. Man, some good catfish there.
Yeah.
But they've since moved, right?
Yep. Since that flood, they were just somewhere else. I haven't been to the new place, actually. Yeah. There is a new restaurant there, the new building, and it's nice, too. It really is. And I cannot remember the name.
No, oh, that's cool.
It's called The Hangar or something like that.
Yeah.
It's worth making a stop at too if you're on the trail. It's you don't have to cross the river if you're on the trail deep there.
Right.
So yeah, I got to put Jeff City on kind of a list of faves because of that. Primarily Patty Malone's.
I can agree. I think it needs to make the list.
Mushroom and Swiss burger and a tall Magnert cider.
Dude.
Yep, that'll do.
Delicious.
So, now a couple comments. Now, that's the top five, but I had an honorable mention I got to throw on there.
All right.
And that's at Roachport because we've got Les Bourgeois, the winery, and they have the bistro, but they have the A-frame.
Yeah.
And that is a fun place to be. But, you got to work for it. It's at the top of a hill. You either got
to
go up this goat path.
It's literally a goat path.
Yeah. And I've ridden my bike up it before, and I've gotten some dirty looks and nearly had to have the defibrillator when I got to the top.
Yes.
But otherwise, you go around through town and ride up the road, which is still not trivial.
And dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's a two-lane highway that is fairly busy and get yourself plowed. Although they're used to seeing bikers on it. A lot of people are, but yeah. I think also when you say Roachport, I have to give a plug for Merriweather's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're in Roachport, right by the trail,
mm-hmm.
if it's open.
Yeah, yeah. And I think these days their hours are a little bit more available.
Man, they have an awesome breakfast there.
They do.
I mean, I don't know who the guy is that's cooking there, but the last time I was out there and had breakfast, it was amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
It was really good.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. People drive out there just to eat breakfast and stuff. I mean, yeah. From here, they drive out there, eat breakfast, come back.
If you want a carb load, you go out there and get their Nutella bananas pancakes.
Yeah.
And then you just, kind of sit for like an alligator in the sun before you get back on the bike.
Exactly. It's so good. Yeah. The food there is good.
Yeah.
But the A-Frame is special because number one, the winery, it's a part of the Les Bourgeois winery fam, you know, family of wines and stuff. But the A-Frame is just kind of rustic and more simplistic. It's almost like it's a part of the Les Bourgeois empire, let's call it.
Yeah.
But separate. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of off to its own. It's kind of made for getting some wine.
Sitting outside,
having a snack, or like they do have some food items there, right?
Yeah, they've got some like
sandwiches and stuff.
Some hummus plates and sandwiches and stuff like that. Yeah.
And then you've got the actual A-Frame or the actual bistro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Next.
That's what I meant to say. The bistros are like a notch up from that where they actually have some events. They have weddings and stuff like that out there, but they also have some really pretty nice dinners and food. Yeah. It's probably a step up from the A-Frame, I'd say.
Yeah, and they're both just really scenic with that view of the river because it's way up on the bluff.
Yeah.
So it's lovely.
100 feet up in the bluff or whatever. Yeah. I
weathered quite a storm there one time. I rode up there to the A-Frame, sat down and got some, quote, refreshments.
Yes.
And then the maelstrom hit. And I just went under, you know, they've got these little tents and stuff that they leave up almost year round.
Yeah, they do.
And I just hunkered down there and it rained for probably like 20 minutes. And, you know, I waited. But when it clears up, when the storm moves through, then you get these phenomenal, like almost sunset like effects with the clouds when the sun's there.
It's very much like Cooper's with the sunset factor there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really nice sunsets there pretty much year round because the way it faces, you can see them no matter which, you know, part of the sky, the sun setting. A really pretty place.
Yeah. And if anyone's driven by, you know, across the Missouri River there at the Roachport area, that's, you can see it.
Yeah, I-70 bridge there that crosses the river. You can see the bistro and the A-Frame if you squint your eyes going across there.
Yeah. The only other comment I'm sort of lamenting the loss of some of the things that used to be on the trail. You know, because some things come and go.
Yeah, they do.
You know, at Mokane, they used to relatively frequently, you know, like I say, they come and go, but there's usually a bar and grill there. And now there isn't. I think they were damaged by some of the flooding economically. The only thing that's there is there's an Embets place there that if they're open, people can go in and get something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the Lions Club Park, which you can camp there. But I don't think there's any more a store of any kind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the other thing I always think about is Catfish Katie's.
Mm, yeah.
That was a pretty nice place not far from the Columbia Spur.
Yeah.
And that place has changed hands a few times. And I think they just have a hard time making a go of it without having a real town or community kind of around it.
Nearby, yeah.
And they tried to kind of do the same thing that Cooper's Landing did, but it just didn't quite. Weren't quite able to pull it off.
Yeah, and they're a little further from the river.
Yeah, they are.
Too. Used to be a campground. Took the boys camping there a few times. Yeah. You know, that's always fun. But there's a sign up there now that it's, I think it's becoming part of the state park or conservation department. And so that new structure there is going to be something dedicated to that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So... That's kind of the my top watering holes.
You know? Those are some great places to stop and get some food and beverage. And I think that transitions us nicely into the next topic, which was we were talking about a couple different things. One, you did a ride from east to west of the entire trail, which we could talk about that a little bit. And then also wanted to talk about if you're one of those people who wants to ride the Katy Trail and you don't want to do the whole thing from one end to the other, you can kind of hub and spoke ride the trail. And you've done a lot of that, probably the whole thing, honestly,
just about
in that doing way, it that way, sort of. Mm-hmm. So how do you want to kick that off?
Well, And I'll start talking about the, you know, since we live in Columbia, and for me, for the past 10 years, work has consisted of driving to some small towns, doing some work.
Yeah.
And then I usually keep the bike in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I'm within striking distance of one section of the trail. You know, if I've worked in Jeff City or south, I'll stop at the Jeff City trailhead. If I've gone, you know, a little bit further east, I might go to Mokane or Portland or something, even Herman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I've gone west, you know, I'm at Boonville or Sedalia. And so it's just a great way to do it is if you have that kind of a setup, take your bike and then you park, take your cycling clothes. And this is also how I discovered most of my watering holes too.
Though. Yeah. Right.
And then you just ride, you pick one direction and you can ride 10, 20 miles. And you go that distance, you're going to find something on the Katy Trail most of the time.
Right.
Might be a Casey's, but it might be something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back. If you do that, you know, you've put in 20 to 40 miles, sometimes 50, getting a heck of a workout, justifying your libations and snacks.
Yeah. Well, and then you can come back to the car. And if you want to go stay at a nice hotel, you can drive mm-hmm. to a nice hotel yep. somewhere
mm-hmm.
and then move on down to another section of the trail yeah. and kind of explore it.
Yeah. Or just the next day, you know, if you go west one day, you go east the next day.
Right.
You can do that. And you know, you can probably cover that in, you know, the 20 to 40 mile sections and then drive a little ways down and do it again. And it's quite nice to do that.
Yeah.
And it's easy. You know, if you don't want to take camping gear and stuff and you want to actually take a shower every day, you know.
Well, yeah. And you don't have to carry as much stuff then. Mm-hmm. So you can probably get more miles in eat more easily that way too without carrying a lot of gear.
Yeah. It's not a bad way to do it at all. It takes a little bit of homework, you know, but there's between Google Maps and the mileage chart you can find online, there's lots of.
Pretty good Katy Trail map on their website too. Mm-hmm. That gives you some real information. I don't know how up to date it is. They seems like it's been there a long time. I'm not sure who updates it, but
yeah. Well, if you look at that, or maybe even Google Maps, and you really do get an appreciation for what we talked about before is the middle part. Well, the middle and eastern part of the trail is pretty much along the Missouri River.
Yeah,
it's at Boonville where the trail goes off to the southwest and leaves mm-hmm. the river.
Yeah.
The river kind of goes up west and north. But, you know, from Boonville on to the Mississippi, it's real close.
That's true.
But that, you know, that's just worth commenting if people really want to ride it without doing the whole darn thing.
Yeah, and I think that's probably good advice for a lot of people if they're just trying to figure out, do I really want to get into this or really want to do it? Mm-hmm. Or maybe I just don't want to carry all my stuff. I want mm-hmm. a credit card tour, so to speak, mm-hmm. and not be without my vehicle.
Yep.
That's a way you can do it. And really, and we've done that several places. We did that up in Iowa one time, up around Des Moines and did some stuff like that. So you can figure out ways to make that work.
Yeah. But if you don't have the time or the inclination to make a big, long bike packing or touring route out of it. But, you know, in 2020, in the June, yeah, was when I was coming back from my little trip in the pandemic where I was cycling Florida and kind of got spooked and thought, you know, I better get home in case policy keeps me from getting home.
So right. There was some crazy stuff then where it was like crossing state lines.
Crazy talk.
Lots of crazy questions and talk was going on then.
Yeah. So I, you know, that's when I rented a one-way van and came back. But then as I was doing that, I was pretty disappointed that I had to shorten my Gulf Coast tour. And I was like, well, I'm going to be at the Katy Trail. And, you know, when you rent a one-way vehicle, you can't just drop it off at any enterprise. You got to go where they tell you. And that took me to the airport, the international airport in St. Louis.
I think this is a really great thing to have. We could probably have an entire episode on how to do this.
Yeah.
But parking at airports and doing a ride leaving from there or renting a car from one airport to the other is always easier mm-hmm. than it is from like a non-airport rental place.
Yep.
They're much more apt to take a car at the different rental places in major airports than they are just Joe Schmo's rental place in, you know, Kansas.
Well, and I looked out. This was at kind of early days of the craziness, but, you know, it wasn't long after that that vehicles were just in short supply. Nobody had them to sell. Nobody had them to rent. The rental fleets were old.
Such a crazy
time. It was a bizarre time. But
so you started out from the airport?
Yep. Yeah. I went to the airport and dropped this van off. And then, you know, it was just a big empty van. I took the bike out and hopped on it, and I started riding. But the route I had to take to get to, because this was the end of the day, because I'd just driven all day. I had to go through the passenger drop-off lane with all the buses and shuttles in my bike, with bags strapped to it, and it was pretty comical.
That's fun.
Then I went to this Holiday Inn, and I rested up. And then next day, I got up, and I made it to the trail, and I went all the way to the eastern end.
Yep.
And I thought, well, I'm here. May as well go to the river, you know. Did that, and then I came back, and I went to Marthasville. So that first day of riding was pretty long, and this was June 26th, I think. And that was 76 miles. That was a long day.
Marthasville is another interesting place you can camp. Now, if you listen to the last episode, we talked about Klondike Park in Augusta. But Marthasville is a place you and I have camped a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's basically a baseball field in the town of Marthasville that you pick up the phone and you call this guy, and I don't remember the guy's name. This dude shows up and he charges you $10. And if you're lucky, you get access to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right.
And hot water.
And hot water.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny. And in this case, on this day, I rolled in there. It's kind of a bucket list item for me because I got to watch a baseball game. I've always wanted to be on tour of some sort, ride into a place and watch like a Little League baseball game.
Yeah.
Strangest desire. But I got to do that. It was really older than Little League kids, you know, but it was fun. It was great. And so I'm there. Obviously, I'm planning to camp. And then this dude, the guy we're talking about, just shows up. He's like, hey, you going to stay here tonight? I said, well, yeah. And so he charged me my money, and he said, I'll turn on the water and make sure the lights are on for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I watched the game, and that was a real eventful night, though. Several crazy things happened here.
Something about Marthasville attracts crazy in general.
Yeah.
Because before you tell that story, one time when we were there, it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
And the warmest place was the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember sticking my fingers in my armpits.
Yes.
And just waiting for the gas station down the road to open to get some hot coffee.
It was so cold. We were not prepared.
No.
Adequately prepared.
Yeah.
We wound up walking over to that gas station and just like huddling up. They had like a little area where they served breakfast. I think we have some biscuits and gravy or something.
Yeah, and coffee.
Yeah. But then you had an adventure when you were there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this was in the summer, so it certainly wasn't cold. It was thunderstorm time. So after the game ended and cleared out, I put my tent up, and I went over to this bar and grill that was kind of starting to get rowdy, you know?
Of course.
There was some karaoke going on there that night, I believe. And so I ordered some chicken tenders and, of course, a bourbon and Diet Coke or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And took him a while because it was just crazy there that night. And when I finally got it, I just I downed my drink and I took the food back to my campsite, which was good because then it just continued to get rowdy. And so when they finally closed, like the party moved out to the parking lot, and it's not really near where I was camping, but it's, you know, when there's nothing around to break up.
Open field, basically. It's maybe an eighth of a mile at best, I'd say.
And it was loud, and these folks were just rowdy, and I don't know what they were doing. But when they finally left, then the thunderstorm came through.
Oh, yes.
Thunder, lightning, and wind. It was pretty dramatic. And so that kept me up. And then when that finally passed, then the cats in the rafters started, you know, having their adventures in procreation.
It was an early morning fling.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it was crazy. So that was a day of very or a night of very little sleep on my part. There was just no peace to be had.
So, love it. What time of year was this?
This was June.
June. Yeah.
End of June. Yeah. And you know, people starting to do fireworks around at that time, which kind of leads me to the next day. So that first day was 76 miles. And then on the 28th, I get up and I got an early start.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode 91 miles to Cooper's Landing.
So Martha'sville to Cooper's Landing, mm-hmm. 91 miles.
And I stopped at another watering hole.
On very little sleep.
Very little sleep. And I stopped at the Hartsburg Hitching Post.
Yes. Which we talked a little bit about in the last episode.
Yep. And I probably did order one of those frozen pizzas. And if you ever go to the Hartsburg Hitching Post, there's always a dog in there. Forget the dog's name. And the dog will just nearly sit on your lap until you feed it something inside. It's really pretty funny.
Nice.
But, you know, this was hot this time of year. And so when I got to Cooper's Landing, I set up my my hammock is where I camped that time. Yeah. I didn't sleep in the tent. you know, it's pretty crowded because it's getting ready for 4th of July. It's just a rowdy bunch there. And I was tired and I was trying to sleep. And these kids, man, I know they were not drinking age. They were sure drinking. And they were bad kids, but they just, you know, getting pretty feisty. And they were shooting these, you know, these fireworks that they have a base and a tube,
yeah,
launch all the crap out. And they knocked it over, pointing right at me. And stuff was flying toward me and scared the hell out of me. And they finally got it together and pointed it out toward the river and apologized over and over. And I said, man, it's okay. Just let me sleep, will you?
Yeah.
So it was another rough night, but I did get some sleep that night ultimately. And so again, this is east to west, so it's, you know, and if you're committed to a little bit of a larger ride, you're going to take fewer nights, you know. Then the next day took me to Sedalia, but I didn't camp. I figured I was pretty beaten up by this time, and so I went to the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, smart.
So I could have a shower and a bed.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was about 70 miles that day.
Yeah, that's a good day too.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm looking here at these, you know, I'm averaging probably 10 miles an hour those days.
Yeah.
But you know, I stopped frequently. I did stop. Mm-hmm. And that was really not, there's really nothing eventful that happened when you get to Sedalia. And I don't remember where I ate, but once I crawled into bed, I kind of.
The nice thing about June also is you have the longest days of the year during that time period for the most part. And so you can really make the most of a long day and get a lot of miles in and take your time, honestly.
Yeah. That's what's nice is you don't have to be in a hurry, you know. And you know that unless there's a storm coming, you don't have to worry about, okay, I gotta get this up and, you know, get my sleeping bag opened up so it's not freezing cold when I get into it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then the last day was a short day because if you're in Sedalia, there's not much left of the trail. So it was about 42 miles, and I went to Clinton.
Yeah.
Made note of this that, you know, between there is Green Ridge, between Sedalia and Clinton is a little town. And it's a nice little town with the Casey's, of course. I think they got a subway and some other stuff.
Yeah.
A nice city park. And I don't know if you can camp in that city park. I've never camped there. But it's a nice little place. But then I had my wife pick me up there in Clinton.
Perfect.
And that trip, that from the time I got out of the van, it was a 287 miles.
That's good.
From there to the river and back. So that was on the heels of my Florida thing. So I put a lot of miles in that June.
Yes.
I was whooped.
Yeah. So you've ridden it from west to east, as we talked about in the last episode, and in this episode from east to west. Do you have a preferred direction if you were going to recommend to somebody? Which way should you go?
You know, I think it makes more sense to me to do it west to east.
I think it's more rewarding to start out on the west side just because I don't think the west side is as nice.
Yeah.
It's more like farmland
mm-hmm.
until you get to kind of Boonville.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a little bit... it kind of goes uphill a little bit out of Clinton.
Yeah.
And you reach the highest point in the trail and then you go down a little bit. But then when you're going back into Pilot Grove, you got a little bit more of an incline. Right. And it's not terrible, you know, it's flat, but you know, if you're loaded down and you've got wide tires and you got kind of a squishy surface, you know, it does if you're riding 40 to 70 miles, it matters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
but the rest of it's pretty flat or
almost
perfectly flat, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe slightly down, but.
Well, in the places that we stopped going west to east, it made pretty good sense.
It did.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if you're going to do longer, you know, longer days, the way I spaced it out going east to west was okay too.
Mm-hmm.
But those were kind of hard days, you know, just hot, definitely. Summer, mosquitoes, you know, the whole bit.
Yeah, you are along the river, so there's a lot of bugs and mosquitoes.
Bring some bug spray, sunscreen. Bug spray.
Yeah, those are the two.
Yeah. So, really, that's probably that encapsulates my east to west trip. But I think and it's more fun when you're with somebody. You know,
yeah.
I did it just because I wanted to do it. I had the time.
Yeah.
But it's more fun when you've got someone traveling with you and,
I think this has been a good follow-up to the last episode because I know that people are always interested in the Katy Trail. It's legendary. Lots of people. I think one of the things we talked about was just you meet people from all over the country because we ride it a lot.
All over the world? Really?
All over the world, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's people, guy from Australia, and we were just talking about this, you're going to see people from everywhere.
The UK,
UK,
a lot of UK cyclists.
Yeah, a lot of people come here to ride the Katy Trail. So having some information about it is useful, both from the perspective of if you want to do shorter term rides, like shorter distance each day rides and kind of take more days, or if you want to like try to really maximize. This gives you some different options if you want to come from west or you want to come from east. And I think then just knowing those like watering holes, places you can mm-hmm. stop and get decent food and drink or something to see, add to the kind of the fun of the journey, having those would be really useful for people to know as well. Because I know a lot of times people don't know. They're like, hey, if I'm riding along, where do I go get food? Or what's a good place to grab a bite to eat or a brew or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Having some of those is really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. Overall, it's one of the, like you say, it's here. We see it all the time. But it's probably one of the more rewarding places to ride because you get to see... You go a great distance and you get to see lots and lots of things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, and I think for us, anytime we do these things, we really like these little communities. We really like the little local joints, mm-hmm. seeing something that's kind of unique to the community or a restaurant that's a local restaurant. Supporting those local places is always something we enjoy doing too, because I think they're just really interesting.
Yeah.
You always meet great people at these places.
Yeah.
Always a friendly person willing to mm-hmm. try to help you out or, you know, make you some kind of food if they've got it or whatever. So if you're thinking about riding the Katy, we would definitely encourage you to do it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's a great trail, even though oftentimes you'll hear us talk about how we take it for granted because it's in our back door, but it is a really great trail.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we'll wrap this episode up. If you're interested, leave us a review. We would certainly appreciate it. Reviews about the podcast really help people find us. In addition to that, I continue to promote that Spotify allows you to leave comments, just like video comments or so forth, without having to leave a review. It's the only podcast player that I know that does that. Leave us comments, questions, feedback. We always appreciate that. And we'll see you again in the next episode.